Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
My Imhotep and Better Love, and you are listening to the Truth to Power show, and tonight we have Eddie Rodriguez with us, and this is Hispanic Heritage Month here. So let me bring Eddie up. Mr. Eddie Rodriguez, how are you doing? It's a pleasure to always have you with us.
Well, you know, being on Truth to Power,
I can't hear you. Can you speak up a little bit?
Okay, certainly.
Let me turn my volume up here.
How about now?
Yeah, that's much better.
Okay, sorry about that. It's an honor to be with Truth to Power with you, Beverly D. Love. Your program is about political and spiritual matters and frequencies, and you know, we spoke last year during Hispanic Heritage Month, also focused on Latin music, how the black Hispanic musicians, when they traveled in the 60s with white Puerto Rican or Cuban musicians, when they reached places like Georgia, you know, they had to go to the colored section, and the black, dark-skinned Latinos or black Latinos versus white Latinos. And, you know, that was segregation, and it affected the music. You know, people didn't want to do it. They didn't want to travel anymore. But there were some big hits by Latinos. But once they hit the South, you know, it was a different story. So that was the political side. So, you know, we went through all of that, and we have great, you know, interchange, between all the cultures now. But looking at it from a spiritual point this year, you know, I worked with the late, great Tito Puente for many years. I was at his last performance. And one thing throughout the years that he always used to do during a performance was say the words to his audience. He used to have an exchange back and forth with the audience. And he would ask, did you feel it? And that's an invisible thing, feeling it, you know.
Yeah.
Music people understand what I'm talking about. And, you know, what we're going to try to do this year is try to, put a spotlight on the roots of a music that today is known as Latin jazz. It's played on jazz radio stations. You know, jazz is our heritage here in the U.S., and Latin jazz grew from that. One of the people who picked that up early was Dizzy Gillespie from the African-American side with a gentleman by the name of Frank Grillo Machito, who had a orchestra called the Afro-Cubans. And so, but as a solo artist, you know, Tito Puente on percussion by himself, you know, became one of the greatest, one of the most beloved artists in the Latin music industry in general, and was called, you know, throughout his career, the king of Latin music. So it was appropriate. You start with just very simple, composition by him. He was a composer. He was a songwriter. He was an orchestra leader. He was, you know, a vibraphonist, not only a timbale, which is, you know, the two drums with a stick, not a whole kit, drum kit he makes music with. Most of the time, I would say if you're a music person and you can get into that zone, you can feel it. So I hope everyone felt it. And we want to get your comments about some of the music we're going to hear tonight. We're going to be doing this for the next few weeks. We're going to switch it up. We're going to do some Latin jazz of yesterday, of the roots, and then we're going to do Latin jazz of today. And then we're going to do salsa music as well of the past, and from the mambo to the salsa dance craze of the 70s, 80s, 90s, still today in the 2020s, people are still dancing salsa all over the world. And a lot of people people don't know that because they hear Latin urban is the newest thing. But tropical salsa music or dance music has coexisted with every single Latin, Spanish language genre that has been invented since the 50s. And here we are in the 2020s, and we still have, you know, Latin music superstars. That their repertoire is entirely of salsa dance music. But people also like to listen and go to concerts, and go, you know, they go to stadiums. You know, this is a big industry, the salsa music industry today. And so we're going to spotlight some of that during Hispanic Heritage Month celebration of On Truth to Power with Beverly D. Every Thursday from 9 to 10 p.m.
Now, before we get into the music, I would like for you to tell the people who is Eddie Rodriguez and what do you do in the music industry? And how long you been in it?
Well, it would take a long time, but just kind of give you a glimpse of my background in music. You know, I started loving music during junior high school in the Bronx. I was in the junior high school band. I learned how to play the trumpet. I learned music theory. And yes, when we did one of the school functions of the year was the opera Carmen. And so when we did that opera, I felt the music. I felt the music. That was the second time I felt the music. The first time was when I was in public school, PS62 in the Bronx. And they took us to a rehearsal of Leonard Bernstein at Carnegie Hall. And I remember it was symphonic music. It was Spanish music, English music, music. And the timpanis, the drums, you know, that whole build up with the you know, going to a crescendo, you know, like building up. And it's a finale, you know, it's like, boom, and like it killed me. And so I kind of got the bug early. I didn't start doing anything until I started going to college. So everything in the Bronx, okay, PS 62, PS junior high school 120, and then the child high school in the Bronx. And so what happened was that there was kind of like the young people were dancing. Even at junior high school, we were dancing. And so there were local bands, and, you know, we didn't like Spanish music. We were listening to the Four Tops. We were listening to Temptations. We were listening to Supreme. Michael Jackson, the Jackson Brothers, you know, things like that. Marvin Gaye, early stuff. And so in the 60s. And then this Latin thing came out. The guys that were performing, we knew them from being in high school with them or junior high school with them. All those cats were young. So we gravitated to them, and a lot of those bands were singing in English. So then, you know, I grew from that experience into doing a concert, I was the president of the Veterans Association of Bronx Community College, very proud of doing that in the Bronx on University Avenue. And we decided to do a fundraiser. So we did a fundraiser with the Machito Orchestra, which you're going to hear now. Yes. A group called Conjunto Libre and a group called Típica 73. And at that moment, I knew that I loved music. That was it. I was going to do something in music. I ended up leaving New York, going to San Francisco and living in Oakland. And I got exposed to a lot more music there, you know. I mean, I was introduced to funk, you know, and that's what I was listening to. But I decided to do a Latin show with a local group and an artist that we're going to hear tonight by the name of Cal Jader. May he rest in peace. And that was my first show on the West Coast. I was in the 70s, and then I went to Los Angeles. and went to live there, and I did my first show with one of the great time artists of Latin music, Ruben Blades. I did a dance concert with him. I promoted there, and then I just went on. I started working, you know, with artists like Tito Puente. I did, you know, some outdoor festivals. I booked the other groups, and I started booking groups from the East Coast to come to the West Coast while they were on tour, not bringing them the paying for the airfare. And so I started working for some media companies. I worked for a company called Televisa, and I learned about distribution because they had a record label that I was working with and their home video label. And I had come from prior to that working with Billboard magazine, so I was around before the Latin charts that everybody pays so much attention to right now, when those numbers used to come in on a fax machine. There was no measurement tools back then. And so to what they are now, they're, you know, Nielsen, BDS, you know, you got MediaBase, you know, you have a lot of different measurement companies that can give you exactly how many radio spins you're getting, what time, how many people were listening, what is the age group. I mean, it is incredible today. So before that, I went on to work for a record label in Madera, California, and the home video company. And then I decided, you know, Los Angeles was going to be the place. I stayed in L.A. And from there, I started doing shows in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And I became a promoter there. And from there, what I did was I kept on looking for opportunities with record labels, and I found an opportunity in the early 90s to get hired by a New York independent label that was the label that was responsible for discovering the great Mark Anthony, who is a salsa music superstar today. So I was with that entire campaign and the millions of dollars that were spent to get Mark Anthony to where he is today, as well as working, directly with Tito Puente, Celia Cruz, Oscar De Leon, Teo Feliciano. A lot of these people, you know, they're gone now. Dave Valentin, great Latin jazz flautist. Hilton Ruiz, a great Latin jazz pianist. I mean, I got to work with Michelle Camilo, Chucho Valdez. I mean, I went and, you know, I started doing my job very happily. I knew I had landed where I wanted to be. And I worked that job here in the West Coast for about 4 years. In my fifth year, I was asked to relocate to the main headquarters in New York City, which I accepted. And I started producing recordings there with Tito Puente, with Chucho Valdez, and Michelle Camilo, and Hilton Ruiz. And I was in my place of you know, it wasn't work to me. It was surrounded by talent, and I just kept on going. And at one point, I was offered a job by a company in France to it's called the Reed Meadham organization. People know it as the New Gem, the world's number one music industry trade show. And it was in its 50th or 55th edition, and they wanted a Latino to reach out to Latin American countries and work with the performing rights societies, the music publishers, the CD manufacturers at that time, the record shop chains, and the attorneys, music attorneys, and managers, et cetera. And I did that for 5 years, and then decided that I wanted to get back into the music industry, and I was offered an opportunity to become a partner with the late, great Ralph Mercado, one of the number one Latin music industry promoter that ever existed. The number one promoter today, his name is Henry Cardenas, he's from Colombia. Wonderful guy, and he worked. I hadn't met him when he started in Chicago, but Ralphie was a guy from New York. He was from Brooklyn. He said he He said he was the only black Puerto Rican around that thought like a Jew, you know, because he would try to get the best prices for them, for all the shows that he did. And he would kind of haggle from that old style of Jewish haggling in the garment district. And he was black and he was Puerto Rican. And so he started off working with James Brown doing, you know, soul music shows. His company was called Show Shoppers, and that's when I met Ralph back in 75. At any rate, during all that time, I became a partner. We did two sold-out concerts at Madison Square Garden. I was the producer of those shows. He was the backer, you know, he was my financial backer, my partner. And we were able to accomplish that, and then he got sick and passed away. That was around 2009. So after that, I did a few projects, but there was nothing that filled me, you know. I ended up working on a project with the first, actually, in 2012, I did a bit of a streaming project with the incredible singer Mariah Carey. And sold 100 million units worldwide, so... I had the person that was going to be able to pay for that, and then I had the other person that was going to be able to get the digital truck and the digital recording company and all the crew that we needed and the lighting, et cetera. And I did that, and basically, I got to tell you, I couldn't really get to back to that same, you know, being surrounded by the same type of people that I was surrounded by for so many years, it is a loss of people that had me thinking of, okay, where do I go from here? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I got involved with a digital distribution company, and we wanted to do an entire Hispanic site at one point. You know, we went to Sweden. I went with the investor. We came back. This is just when Spotify had launched, and I've seen it all. basically, now what I'm doing is I'm identifying artists. I'm working with a producer who's one of the two top salsa music producers on the planet. They have more hits on the charts of Billboard than any other two tropical salsa record producers in that business today. His name is Pedro Infante. And we did a tour in Latin America. This is one of the last things that time that I was kind of moving from Mercado. We did a tour in South America called a tribute to Hector Lavoe. You're going to hear Hector Lavoe drop the salsa series that we do. He was one of the beloved salsa singer who passed away tragically, and Ralph Mercado was able to buy the licensing rights to do a concert tour tribute to Hector Lavoe. Mm-hmm. And you see, it was the one that put an all-star band together, put the singers together. And we had Woody Golan, we had Oscar De Leon. You're going to hear some of these people throughout the broadcast. We had Cheo Feliciano, we had Imael Miranda, we had Yo Motoro, we had Domingo Quiñones. I mean, we had a lineup of great singers of salsa music, well-known, beloved guys. These guys were incredible. And some of those guys had passed away already, but... Alberto Santiago is the other artist. You know, these are incredible salsa artists that have been around for years, and they're still doing their thing. So I'm looking forward to going back out with them again. We're working on a project right now with Isidro, and I also am working with a wonderful a record producer for Latin, actually pop music producer by the name of Casey Porter. He was the record producer for Ricky Martin, Living La Vida Loca. and he was the record producer for Toni Braxton when she did a Spanish version of Unbreak My Heart.
Okay.
And he was working with Michael Jackson during his last to do something with him, produce him in Spanish. He got to he did get to produce some songs with Michael Jackson for that after that 9/11 thing that he did. Well, that's Eddie Rodriguez. I'm married. I have three wonderful children. I got four girls and one son. So three children from this marriage. I have had a previous marriage, and I have a daughter. That was a wonderful daughter. You know, all my kids, I'm so very proud of them. They all went to college, and they're working. And so their mom is, you know, from Guatemala, from Puerto Rico. And, you know, like my mom in Puerto Rico, you know, she just turned 99 years old.
Wow, that's awesome.
And it's still from Puerto Rico, Arroyo Puerto, which is a town in Puerto Rico in the 1850s where Samuel Morse, the granddaddy of all mass telecommunications, and, you know, he tested his telegraph here. And out of all towns in Puerto Rico, he chose this town in the 1850s because he had a relative here. He had a daughter that was married to a Spaniard that had a sugar refinery here. And so, you know, I'm in a frequent year that you know, Samuel Morse was able to capture those magnetic waves, so to speak, to send them to be able to have a transmitter to a receiver with his Morse codes and open the world about a gift from God, you know, to be able to communicate online. Mm. Look at how far it's come today. Blog Talk Radio, Truth to Power with Beverly D. So,
well, we're going to put some of that good music on, get some of that good frequency going on here.
Okay, whenever you're ready.
I'm ready.
Okay, let's hear it. Wow. Wow. Beverly?
I'm sorry, I had my microphone muted. Who was that we were listening to?
Oh, my God. That was just
happening.
You kind of muffled. Can't say it again.
Okay, how about now? Hello?
Better.
Hello?
Better.
Is this good now?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, that was a great machito. His name was, that was his stage name. Gentleman's name was Frank Grillo, a composer, band leader, singer. All around great human being. I got to work with him on my first ever concert in New York City in the Bronx in 1975. People gravitated to him. He had been there since in the 40s and that whole swing era with his big orchestra, 21-piece orchestra, and Charlie Parker, the late great Charlie Parker. Took an interest in doing something with the machito and Afro-Cubans. In particular, the creative force on the horn section and the arrangements and that big band sound for Latin music was a gentleman by the name of Mario Bauza. Mario was also a black Cuban who had emigrated to the U.S. in the 40s. And, people were gravitated to him just because of his creativity. Now, don't forget, there was people before the Machito Orchestra that came. There was an artist by the name of Chano Pozo that did one particular composition with Dizzy Gillespie called Manteca. And that became... It's a standard now, but that was the beginning of what we call the roots of Latin jazz music. We could go back even further, back to New Orleans when the Cuban trumpeters started going to New Orleans. New Orleans during the 1900s. I'm looking at it from my point of view. The biggest influence of Latin jazz music were the two gentlemen artists that you presented already on Truth to Power that had to go through a lot of dealing with segregation in the United States and in New York City. Machito was a white Puerto Rican. Machito was a black, dark skinned, not really. Dark-skinned, but, he was, you could tell that he was colored. And, from Cuba. And so they had to go through the same things that the jazz artists had to go through when they traveled in the South, going to the colored bathroom and drinking from the colored drinking fountain and eating in the colored section and that was hard, because in Latin American countries, there might be prejudice, but in Cuba, you don't feel it, or in Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, you have leaders that are black, it doesn't mean white, but New York City, there was a time where you could not go below 96th Street in Manhattan if you were not white and perform Latin music. So that's how tough it was. These neighborhoods were Italian, Irish, this or that. So for a Latino to go through that for the first time was quite an unusual experience. And Charlie Parker, one of the greats of jazz music. Charlie Parker and so creative that he decided to do this suite with the Afro-Cubans. And that's what you just heard. This is the beginning of what I believe to be the roots of Latin jazz music today, which is a worldwide industry. There's Latin jazz artists all over the world that perform. There's great jazz artists that, you know, perform you know, all over the world, and they do a Latin kind of jazzy kind of composition in their repertoire. And, you know, management, music publishing, you know, the venue operators, the engineers in the recording studio that these Latin jazz musicians use. You know, they're all part of an industry that we call today the Latin jazz music industry. We're separating them by genre because we could say Latin, but, you know, what is Latin? You know, there's a Latin urban music industry. There's a tropical salsa music industry. There's a regional Mexican music industry. There's obviously, you know, a Latin pop music industry. So, you know, and there's regional industries in Brazil. You know, you have in Argentina and in Colombia have their own genres. But what we're doing is in all those countries, they usually have a Latin jazz festival. And okay. They do have a repertoire that was inspired by Tito Puente, who played at the top of the show, and now with Machito and Charlie Parker. What do you think of it? That's my question.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it reminds me when I was listening to it of the movies back in the older days, and they had that sound. I didn't know what it was, but that's what it sounded like. That. And talking about festivals, we just had a festival here, and we had what was the piano guy named Valdez?
Oh yes, I had the honor of working with him in the 90s. He's one of he's one of the greatest pianists that ever came out of Cuba, known worldwide. And he comes from a family of pianists. His father, Bebo Valdez, was a great orchestra leader, composer, pianist, songwriter. A wonderful gentleman who left Cuba to live in Sweden. spent his last, maybe 30, 40 years before he passed away in Sweden. And his son, Chucho Valdez is the pianist you're speaking of, is the number one Cuban pianist in the Latin jazz or jazz of industry, the pianist of Cuban descent in the jazz music world. You know, he has big hands. He can do wonderful things. I mean, it's just so creative. It just, his solos are so intense that if you don't understand, if you're not a music lover, you might get lost. But his performances are always, they don't miss, because he's very spiritual with his music. And he happens to be the person who put together a group called Irakere back in the 70s, which was the first group, a Cuban group, to ever win a Grammy after the dictatorship of Fidel Castro in the early 60s. So that was a big deal. Chucho Valdez, an incredible composer, songwriter, pianist, musician, band leader, all-around gentleman, and beloved among all the professionals in the Latin music world.
Now, that was my first time seeing him, and that's when you say when you can feel the music. You know, I could really feel his playing. He was awesome. I enjoyed his music.
Well, we're going to be playing some of his music down the line. He did some incredible material, some Latin jazz material that, you know, we're looking, when we talk about Latin jazz, we're talking about musicians that have this amazing talent and they're able to share that with us and these great compositions and melodies that they create. And it's you know, they keep their African roots, so to speak, with drums. And even if it's a drum kit, it still has, you know, not conga drums or bongos or anything. No, they still give it that Latin feel. And that's that comes from the heart. You know, your question about who is Eddie Rodriguez, I wasn't ready for it. But we're going to have to do it over again, and I'll be ready. But Eddie Rodriguez is a dreamer and I'm a spiritual guy who feels the music, and still today I enjoy you know, working on music projects that that will benefit some of the artists and composers and songwriters that I have a personal relationship with. And you know, so doing this tonight, I hope that people were able to get a glimpse of how Latin jazz or the Latin jazz music world, where it began, it began in New York City with artists like Tito Puente, and of course the late great Tito Puente, and the late great Machito, and the late great people like Charlie Parker, who felt the music. And so we got a little bit more for everyone, so let's get to some news.
Yeah. Okay, let's put some more music on here.
Thank you.
Hello, can you hear me, Eddie Rodriguez?
I'm here, I'm here.
Okay.
Oh, my God, that was incredible, incredible. Cal Jader, the vibraphonist resemblance with Eddie Palmieri. Eddie Palmieri is a great pianist. He's another important force in what we call the Latin music industry, in terms of tropical salsa music and dance music. And his brother, who passed away, Charlie Palmieri, was also a pianist. That collaboration with Cal Jader, the vibraphonist, who was actually stumbled into Latin music, he was with Dave Brubeck Quintet, and was in New York when he first heard Latin music. I had the pleasure of interviewing him during a radio show I used to do in Los Angeles, in San Francisco, called La Salsa. And he came from Sweden, and he got turned on to Latin music in New York City, and incorporated into his repertoire. And that music was you know, the favorite of a lot of the jazz music lovers at that time, and even the Latin music lovers, salsa music lovers, which we didn't know at the time was salsa, but we knew that it was Latin jazz. And these artists, like an Eddie Palmieri, would play in dance venues and hotel ballrooms, and we would dance to them. So this collaboration with an instrumental and resemblance standard with Cal Jader was incredible at that time. Then, you know, we went into a great Afro Blue with Cal Jader and Mongo Santa Maria. Mongo Santa Maria, also a Cuban, passed away, rest in peace, and Cal Jader also. That collaboration, that Afro Blue, became a standard as well. You know, this is the creativity going on at that time, the frequency that these people were on to make music that could transcend, you know, and pass the test of time, because this music today is still incredible music. You know, that's what makes this music great. Then you went into one of my favorites was with Tito Puente Tito Puente and Mongo Santa Maria and Potato Valdez. You know, all three of them are gone now. You know, Tito was on the timbales, and Mongo Santa Maria and Potato going back and forth on their congas, two great Cuban congueros, so both of them black Latinos. You know, this is that four-beat mama was it's just incredible. I think we have time for a lot more Tito Puente, which is coming up now, but I think Tito was the one that really made his mark around the world, touring with the Tito Puente Latin Jazz Ensemble. After the big band era kind of went down the drain, Tito Puente created a smaller group.
Now, what era was this? Was this in the 60s?
Well, this is the era, already in the 70s already, you know, that big band, those musicians weren't getting a lot of work. You know, already in 73, the dancers were getting used to smaller groups, what we call conjunto, you know, which is, instead of a 21-piece orchestra, maybe a 12-piece orchestra. And so the conjunto sound came out, after that. But, you know, the Puente still kept on using his big band arrangements, with some great singers, you know, females like Sally Cruz and La Lupe, you know, both Cuban, African-American, black Cuban women were incredible singers. Celia was known as the queen of Latin music for her charisma and her royalty. She was a total, such a wonderful, kind, and loving human being. She didn't have any children, her and her husband. She was just, her life was her music. And so, you know, you had talent like that, you know, that Tito Puente would do. And then he started his Latin jazz ensemble, which is strictly instrumental. And that became a hit. He started touring. And I remember that back in the late 70s when he came to the West Coast. And that group became, that's when I first met him. I was working for a radio station out there, and I was assigned the account for that club. It was a jazz club called it's one of those corner clubs, I'll think of the name. It was an incredible sound, and everybody, he did four nights there, the Keystone Corner. He did four nights there, and it was packed every single night, you know, in San Francisco. And I was there every night, and then I went to other places that he performed on the tour. And I got to know him, and from that relationship, that built to the point where when I was in New York and his manager passed away, he asked me to work for him as his manager. And I would say, well, that's just some big shoes to fill, Tito. And he said, well, you can handle it. You know, he said, just get the contract going with the office, which is Ralph Mercado's office, who handled his bookings at the time. And I became Tito's manager, and I was with him at his last performance. And, unfortunately, he passed away on May 31st, 2000. And we had shows already 2 years in advance. You know, it was an incredible loss for the music world. And from a personal side, I had put in a lot of hopes. I had felt that I had reached the top of my career working with a great worldwide artist like Tito Puente. And these are stories of the Latin music business. But if it wasn't for Tito, I would not know a lot of things I know today. He was able to mentor me all the way until his passing. So, I had great memories of him. I didn't know his family too much, but after he passed away, then, you know, the estate takes over. So, his son, performing Tito Puente Jr., and he has a son. They're doing a movie about Tito. And, it's unfortunate that they don't have people like myself or people that were with Tito during on the road to tell their side of the story. But, it's a Hollywood thing. They'll do a good job, I hope. And, now let's listen to more Tito Puente. Beverly? Thank you.
Wow, good music never ages.
I'm telling you, the late, great king of Latin music, Tito Puente. That set was incredible. I know you have a little bit more time. I don't know if, maybe we should announce the phone number for any comments about our music tonight.
Great music. The call-in number is 323-642-1586. That's 323-642-1586. And push the number 1. If you have a question or comment about the music or a question or comment for Eddie Rodriguez, who has been in the music business for a while. So he's, I would say, an expert. He knows his music.
Well, thank you very much, Beverly. It's an honor to be with you on Truth to Power. I think this, that Blog Talk Radio is covering a lot of things, especially every year you've been so gracious to do a Hispanic Heritage Month spotlight on Latin music. And last year it was about Black artists in the music business, Black Latino artists in the music business.
Mm-hmm.
And today we're going into some of the roots of Latin music, Latin jazz music, which is you love music and you love jazz and you love Latin,
yeah,
and you love opera, you love the Gypsy Kings, or, you know, you can relate to this music. You know, we want to hear your comments so we can keep on giving you more of this music, this great music. Picadillo was a composition by Tito Puente, you know, it became also a standard. You know, it's incredible how he was able to segue from being a big band to a smaller group and pick the best musicians to work with him. And they were loyal to him. They stayed with him for years, all the way to the end, some of them that flouted.
How long did you work with Tito? What is Tito Penez? How do you pronounce his last name?
Puente.
Puentes, okay.
Puente. Tito Puente. Well, I first met him in 1979, and I ended up working with him. Usually every year when he used to come on tour, I would be with him and his road manager, Jimmy Frasora, who was an excellent, also a road manager and a musician and trumpeter. He's American, Jimmy, Italian, Frasora. He passed away. And, you know, a lot of Tito's guys passed away, but he remained with a lot of the ones that were with him until the end of. One of them in particular was the flautist that you heard in the saxophonist. That was Mario Rivera. He was also from, you know, a Black Latino, but from the Dominican Republic. And I remember being on tour with Tito Puente, and I would hear Mario from the morning all the way to the afternoon, just practicing, just playing notes out of his room by himself. You know, when he got on stage, he was ready. So that was music from one of our pioneers in Latin jazz music, which is Tito Puente. May he rest in peace. I think you have a few more tunes coming up. You have some coming up. I think you have something coming up with Cal Jader. We're almost out of time. If all is called, I think we should get back to some music.
And see, I can hear you much better with my earphones on, but you can't hear me when I put them on. So next week, I'm going to work on that. And I just want the listeners to know that we will be here every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, doing this Hispanic Heritage Month in the year of 2022. and we will be listening to some great tunes here. So we might be able to squeeze in about two more tunes here, Eddie Rodriguez.
So while we ended up with Cal Jader, it's not that long. They're like about 3 minutes long, most of them.
The Latin Tango? Which one?
I think that you can start with Leite, with Soul Sauce, from the Cal Jader album.
Okay.
And the song Soul Sauce, Guachiguara, by Cal Jader. They became
right.
Rich. You have another one by Tito Puente there. It's called G Joe B. That's Tito Puente, Latin Jazz Ensemble. If you could squeeze that in, that'd be great. I don't know if we'll have time for Dizzy Gillespie's Machita, because that's a suite, and that lasts about probably about 30 minutes. So maybe we'll see.
Yeah. So I probably can get the two souls sauce in, and maybe Tito, because we have about 12 minutes left.
Okay, we'll play that. Play Soul Sauce and Leite.
All right, and thank you, Eddie Rodriguez. I look forward to doing this again next week.
Beverly D. Better Love, yeah. Truth to Power with Beverly D. Every Thursday on Blog Talk Radio. It's an honor to be with you, Beverly. Thank you so much.
Now, before we go, do you have any way that someone can get in contact with you? Is you still in the business?
I am in the business. They can email me, eddierod213, E-D-D-I-E-R-O-D, 213 at Gmail. On Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn, I'm Eddie Rodriguez. LinkedIn, I'm Eddie Rodriguez Latin Works Music. And Facebook, I'm Eddie Rodriguez. Instagram, Eddie Rodriguez. Twitter, Eddie Rodriguez. You can get in touch with me any of those platforms, social media platforms. It'd be a pleasure to get some comments from you. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, Eddie Rodriguez, and look forward to next week and better love. And thanks.
Better love to you.
Yes, listeners, for listening.
What up?